In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
The election, a potential rate hike, the economy, and their impact on the markets. We'll talk with Steve Wood of Russell Investments in a moment.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. It's been a fairly bumpy ride for U.S. markets following a quiet summer. Investors have a lot to think about, including the presidential election, questions over when exactly the Federal Reserve might raise interest rates, and economic growth, or lack of it. Steve Wood, Chief Market Strategist of Russell Investments, joins us with his take on how the stock market may wrap up the year in the face of all these pressures. Steve, investors have a lot on their plates as we start the fourth quarter, and you think it's going to be a volatile 3 months for stocks?
We do. There's a lot of choppiness in the markets. I mean, that's a global phenomenon. And here in the U.S., there's a lot to price in. There's the presidential election, which everyone's certainly talking about and interested in. But when one looks at the fundamental factors that are, you know, supremely important, interest rates and whether or not the Federal Reserve is going to raise in December, we think they will, what's happening in terms of economic growth, and also what's happening in the United States in terms of the earnings cycle. And those are going to be very, very important factors, and the market's going to be a little bit choppy, we think, pricing those in.
Let's take on those factors one at a time. Are investors nervous about the election? Are you nervous about the election?
I am not nervous about the election. We look at it like any other input variable into our models and into our strategy. And what we do is we focus on the fundamental factors. We look at fiscal policy, economic policy, regulatory policy. We understand that there can be some headline risk around a presidential election, but the likelihood that person A versus person B can radically change as president, economic and fiscal and regulatory policy, is very, very small. And we are very aware that the president, in terms of setting legislative agendas, is not as influential as other people in Washington, D.C. So we put that into perspective. And historically speaking, additionally, making a dramatic move in one's portfolio based upon an election result or any specific headline is not a terribly wise way to proceed, in our opinion.
Steve, how do you forecast economic growth in the U.S. and also the rest of the world?
Yeah, we look at the cycle in the United States as being about 2%, maybe 2.25% as we move into 2017. It was a rather lackluster 2016, and we're looking at the low 2% real GDP growth in the U.S. So for those who have been listening to us for the last 7 years at Russell, we've been thinking since 2009 that it would be what we call the square root shaped economic recovery, the recession of 09, the recovery in kind of that flat line. The slope of that long line of the square root sign is about, you know, 2.25, maybe 2.5%. And this longer term, we were thinking about a decade long in terms of economic recovery. So we think that 2017 will look remarkably similar to 2016, which looked a lot like 2015. So recession risk might be a little bit higher in 2017 than it was this year, but not a lot. And we don't consider that to be a worrying probability. Europe is growing slower than the United States, but the positive there is it's at the beginning of a cycle, whereas the United States, as I mentioned, is 7 years into an expansion. So we look at growth as being okay, kind of a C minus grade in the U.S., about the same in Europe, but they're beginning the cycle, whereas we're getting a little bit longer in the tooth.
What about China? I mean, there have been worries about China's growth slowing and also worries about a recession. How do you see China's economy?
We see China's economy in the 6.5-ish% range. And for China, it's a little bit different of a story because the cyclical downturn in China or the deceleration was very planned. It was desired by the Chinese government to decelerate from the mid to high teens into the 6.5-ish% range, and there's a number of reasons for that. But they're essentially transitioning their economy from this debt-fueled invest or export investment-oriented economy into a more domestically focused consumer base. So that 6.5% growth rate for China is going to be with us for a while. We think it's going to be a soft air landing, but we've seen over the last couple of years, commodity markets, emerging markets, even places like Australia and Canada, really price in that Chinese deceleration. So I don't think a hard landing or a recession would be an accurate forecast. But the days of China growing double digits, I think, are behind us. And there's not going to be great reason to think we're going to move out of that 6.5% growth rate for China.
I guess this is a two-part question, Steve. First, are inflation pressures heating up? And also, when do you think the Federal Reserve will raise short-term interest rates? Inflation obviously has a bearing on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a two-part question, but it's part of the same fundamental factor. Inflation numbers are picking up. They are increasing, which people who are older that remember the 70s, they might look at that headline and, find it to be off-putting, but inflation is increasing, but it's going towards the 2% range, which is where the Federal Reserve wants it to be. So inflation increasing to about that 2% range could be seen as a stabilization. The Fed will count that as being a victory and improvement because we've come through a very significant period now where inflation has been too low. Disinflation bordering on deflation. So I think the Fed's going to be appropriately very pleased with its work that we're getting at that 2% range, which means that in a 2% range of inflation, the economy growing okay, as I mentioned earlier, we think that the Fed's going to continue to be very comfortable raising rates by 25 basis points or 0.25% in December. The market's priced that in, we think, appropriately. So we don't think that the Fed's going to move aggressively, but it looks to be more of a normalization process in inflation, economic growth, and in rates, more than an aggressive tightening cycle on the part of the Fed.
What exactly is driving up inflation to the point that, to the extent that it is going up? Is it labor costs?
Labor costs are a component of it. The unemployment rate, at least the headline rate, which many people look at, is improved dramatically so from where we were 6 or 7 years ago. And so employment costs are inching up. They are improving a bit, not worrisingly so, but so the Fed will feel more comfortable normalizing rates. And also a very significant component, and there's two very significant components remaining. One is the strength of the dollar, which is keeping a lid on inflation a bit, but then oil prices are no longer dropping. So that can kind of offset some of that dollar strength effect. That oil prices went from 100 down to about $27. And now we're significantly above that. So as we all know, that inflation is about how prices change from year to year.
Yeah.
So the energy component has been moving upward, which is creating a little bit of uplift on the inflation picture, again, which the Fed will find to be a welcome offset to the strength of the dollar.
And we'll be back after this.
Hi, I'm Paul Vigna. If you do not subscribe to the Money Beat podcast, you are going to feel worse than a short seller on the day of a big rally. Go to iTunes and WSJ.com/podcasts. You want to sign up for this one.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously. Now, back to the show.
I'm speaking with Steve Wood of Russell Investments. How do you see earnings? They've been slumping recently, but do you think they've bottomed out? And how strong do you think a recovery would be?
We think that the Q3 earnings for this year should be a nadir for earnings. The energy component, which I alluded to earlier, has been a significant downward driver of U.S. earnings, and much of that we think is behind us. And that's also in high yield space as well as in earnings space. And the Q4 improvement should be, rather material. We think that earnings could skyrocket towards zero in the U.S. For the broader market. And that would move into, a modest improvement in 2017. So it's been an earnings recession for a number of quarters right now, which we think moderates. And from our perspective, the cycle looks okay in the U.S. Earnings look to be stabilizing. We think that the Fed's going to raise, but not aggressively so. We just think that the valuations component of U.S. equities continue to be unattractive. So increasingly, it's a valuation story for us in U.S. equity space.
I was just going to ask you that. So you think stocks are too expensive at this point?
We do. And it's been a great 7.5-year bull run in U.S. equities. And again, we're not forecasting a significant downturn. We don't think that there's going to be a market correction necessarily. That's not our forecast. But we do think that at some point, you know, you stretch rubber bands and they reach tautness. And valuations in the U.S. have looked unattractive for a while. And with the improvement that we've seen, you know, certainly since Brexit vote in June, they're inching increasingly into the unattractive range. And no need to panic, we don't think. No need to overreact. But trimming some of those gains, which have been significant for many investors in U.S. equities, looking global, looking multi-asset. This is not just an equity story. It's a global multi-asset strategy where valuations matter. And we think active management is going to matter increasingly in global portfolios and multi-asset strategies as well.
Well, what about Brexit? It sounds like they've set more of a definite schedule on when to try to implement this.
Correct. The new prime minister has had what they call a hard Brexit notification. Anyway, this is going to be a multi-year story. We probably don't want to get too much into the details of European treaty language, but it's a two-year process. It's going to be a slow-moving train, a slow-moving phenomenon. There's going to be plenty of time to assess and digest information. A lot of the details are yet to be worked out. So I think probably one of the more immediate lessons is how quick the response down and up was to the Brexit vote. For observers of the market, the Brexit vote happened, and the following couple of days were a significant downturn in global equities and certainly in European and British equities. The following week saw an equally rapid, almost, recovery in those prices. So there was a very, very rapid movement down and then a recovery in. And as I mentioned earlier, over-responding and overreacting to political headlines can leave a lot of people wrong-footed. So you just want to be very, very disciplined in your approach.
What are you telling clients? How should investors play the market at this point?
I think they need to, as I mentioned earlier, they need to be more global in their perspective. They need to be multi-asset in their strategy. And we think that active in this environment, in terms of tax efficiency, in terms of implementation efficiency, in terms of understanding valuations and security selection, are going to be increasingly important. Our expectation has been for a long time that it's a low return environment. And in a low return environment, every basis point counts. Every edge that one can get in the multi-asset, not one, two, or three asset classes, but in four, five, six, seven, eight, multiple asset classes are going to be very important. I spent a lot of time abroad, and home country bias is one of the most common issues I see with a portfolio, that wherever a person lives, they tend to have too much of that. You know, so that is information that they can use to diversify away from this behavioral biases that might have and take advantage of these global multi-asset probabilities. And valuation, we think, is increasingly going to be a driver of where opportunities are.
Steve Wood, Chief Market Strategist of Russell Investments, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.